once you start opening up your money and showing what your income looks like,
or what you're spending money on,
then it's like, wait, you have this much money? Like, why can't you pay for this bill? That forces people to have to change. They don't want to change. They like how they are.
Money and value holds a certain energy, which is the same energy of self-worth and value in yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you don't think that you're worthy or valuable, then that's going to keep you in a certain tax bracket. What's up, everybody? And thank you for tuning in to the Divine Reconnection Podcast. My name is Lauren.
And I'm Natalie.
If you are new here and this is your first time listening to this podcast,
we're reconnection coaches and we work with couples and individuals to help them create a safe space in their relationships to be able to talk about anything.
One of the biggest reasons why relationships fail is because of finances. And we're going to get into it a little bit today. We are going to touch on some really helpful ways that you can open up this conversation. So anyway, how did you come, like, tell me about how you came across this?
Oh yeah, I came across this post on Facebook, and this one person said, I am in a relationship where I am the breadwinner, but my partner is financially irresponsible and is spending a lot of money. I had to lock my cards because they were overspending. But since this person did support me in another area of my life financially, I should be able to keep the reins open, essentially, for her to spend money.
You said she had to close off her cards and the partner got upset. So the issue is that it has become uncomfortable between the two to discuss money.
Yeah, and it's affecting their intimacy. It's affecting how they're communicating. It's affecting, like, even just their connection.
Yeah, I can imagine so. It's disconnection for a lot of couples. You gave a really good response. What was your advice to her? And we can continue it.
Yeah, the first thing, because she had to cut off her cards from her partner, the first thing I did was validate her in setting a boundary. Many of us get into relationships without even knowing what the boundary is. That boundary had to be set because the expectation of what those cards meant and what those cards are for and how to use those cards were never clearly discussed.
And I can understand why that's hard, because if you don't have boundaries yourself and you don't know what the cutoff is, then it's very hard to speak up on such boundaries with your partner. You don't have to wait until the cards are maxed out. You don't have to wait until foreclosure or anything like that to push yourself to have these conversations. I would ask, how long has this been going on? You can enable someone's decision-making without agreeing with it. This may be the time to sit and think about what would be my boundary for myself and what could be a healthy boundary for our relationship. And we'll talk more later on about how to set these boundaries.
At the beginning of our relationship, money was a sensitive topic for both of us.
Yeah, like I would think around year two, we moved in together. We were in a situation where you were dependent upon me, and that made you very uncomfortable.
It did. I felt like I should be able to give more, and because I didn't have income and I didn't have a job at the time, I was in my master's program. I felt like I had to do more in other areas to make up for the fact that I'm not making enough money.
Did that make you uncomfortable?
It did, because I went from being fully independent, being able to cover everything for myself, being able to shop and buy whatever I wanted, to being completely dependent. A lot of my own insecurities started popping up. Mm-hmm. My value and worth was tied to my job to support myself or to support the house. You kept reassuring me. You kept reassuring me that it's not needed. You're not stressed. You're not asking for anything. It all kind of stemmed from myself and what I think that I should be doing. I didn't feel comfortable looking at my own debt and knowing that I didn't have enough money to just pay it outright. I didn't feel comfortable not having an income. To a certain degree, because I judged myself so much about my money and, like, my belief in my own lack, I feared that you would judge me. I feared that you would be critical of how I would spend money or how I save my money or where I put my money, mm-hmm. that there was something that I was doing wrong. it's really uncomfortable to be so transparent with someone about something that you are already insecure and judging yourself about.
Yeah, because if you got money and you can pay for stuff, that means you're of worth. It's kind of weird that we kind of have this mindset that I don't feel secure if I'm not putting in money. People are providing other things, but I'm not going to convince you that it's not important, because it very much is, especially if you live in our United States society. You basically are discouraged from starting a relationship with somebody who ain't got no job. Yeah. Or somebody who can't, you know, support themselves. So I completely understand, but you weren't that. Mm-hmm. You were very determined. You were very valuable in my eyes. You were just in a transition phase that made you feel uncomfortable. And that, while you're uncomfortable, you made me uncomfortable. What happens in relationships is you are exposed. It's unnerving to have to reply back to your partner, oh, I don't have enough. Or because what's being exposed is you may not be handling money in a way that can be conducive to your relationship. It may show up like, well, why are you asking me? This is my money. I paid bills before you came into my life. Why are you chastising me?
I don't think that people like to feel like they have limitations on themselves, especially when it comes to money.
Yeah.
Which is maybe one of the reasons why people are so cautious and want to hide what their money looks like. Because once you start opening up your money and showing what your income looks like,
or what you're spending money on,
then it's like, wait, you have this much money? Like, why can't you pay for this bill?
Yeah.
Or what are you doing? You know,
or why are you spending this much money on this?
Right.
You know?
Because that forces people to have to change. They don't want to change. They like how they are.
When you're in a relationship, that stuff is exposed. Your insecurities, you're not wanting limitations, you wanting to hide, you feeling a sense of freedom in your ability to spend when you got your own bank account and you're living by yourself and you're single. But the moment that you're in a relationship, whether you're joint bank accounts or not, you still must find a way to talk about your finances and talk about what are your financial goals. Yes, your financial goals don't need to match my financial goals, but are we able to support each other? And does your goals interfere with my goals? People don't even realize how interconnected financial stability and financial security is rooted in everything. Your financial means support your lifestyle needs.
The sense of belonging.
The sense of belonging that you want to feel. You want your friends to be like, oh, girl, look at that nice car. Oh, girl, your house is beautiful. My feelings of lack, my feelings and energy are involving money is going to seep into my kids. I just spoke about how you inherit how you feel about money from your parents.
Go back to the energy of money, because I feel like this all connects. The energy of hiding money, the energy of paying for bills, the energy of
lack and not having enough.
Lack, all of that is playing on so many different areas of your relationship. You could think that it's money is
think that it has no impact at all.
But at the core of it, if you're sitting in an energy of lack, that is going to infiltrate every parts area of your life.
How does that show up if you're sitting in an energy of lack?
I'll say for myself, my core, at the core of me, is the idea of not being enough, right? So my whole life is really about the idea of lack. If I don't have a job, if I'm not making some kind of income, I don't feel like I deserve the life that I'm living, or that I feel like the life that I'm living is going to be taken away. And there's that fear of, I need to be doing, I need to be going. And then when I'm feeling that within myself and I'm judging myself about, like, why am I not doing enough, that gets projected onto you. Like, hey, I need you to show up and do this with me.
Yeah.
So we can fix this problem of lack that I'm feeling.
That is so important. And I saw that handled in my household and in my aunts and uncles. And I've seen that when you're trying to suppress that feeling, first of all, deep, deep, deep within there is a feeling of lack. But you don't know that consciously. Mm-hmm. You don't know that you're thinking that, oh, this is going to be taken away from me. All you're thinking is, I'm working hard. I'm working hard. Why aren't you doing? Mm-hmm. I'm working hard. Why are you spending? I'm working hard. And that comes out as resentment. But deeper, deep root is, I saw my mama struggle. I saw my grandmama struggle. She was out in the fields working. Like, seriously, my grandmother was in the fields working. She picked cotton. Mm. A lot of our money issues, it was inherited from our parents. Mm-hmm. Whatever you saw your parents do, that's literally how you deal with money. Majority of my life, my mom was the breadwinner. My dad is an entrepreneur, which what comes along with entrepreneurship is there's inconsistent income. So while my mom is a breadwinner, I don't think that she was money conscious. I think that she thought about, let me pay the bills and let me provide for my children. There were a lot of times where she was in the negative. I inherited from her in a way that it's not okay for me to ask for more. Because I don't think that I'm worthy of it. Because
you should be humble with what you have.
And you should be grateful for what you have. My dad deals with a lot of cash. When he gets home from work, he just takes wads of hundreds and sit them on a countertop. And all I knew is, dad equals ATM. Like, that's how he saved in my phone.
Yeah.
Not because he got a whole bunch of money, but in my mind, my childish mindset, I'm like, ooh, hundreds. Dad, can I have some lunch money? Here you go, 20. And he always gave it to us. And I really loved that about Dad. Honestly, that was our love. What I didn't know was he lacked money consciousness. As quick as money came in, that was as quick as money left. And it started a lot of conversations, were really arguments within my household. Handling money was not my parents' strong suit. I saw that it created arguments. My mom was like, oh, do you have the bill or do you have the rent? Your half of the rent? He's like, oh, I got it. Don't worry about it. And I realized I was just like my dad, a big tipper. Oh, I'm gonna go out to eat. I'm 20 something years old with a good paying job. I got money left over. What I need to invest for? What do I need to, you know, put money aside for? I don't have no emergencies. That's how I'm thinking. As you enter into relationships, you understand kind of what you need to prioritize, and hard conversations come up when other people are looking at my spending habits.
As you're going through your parents' dynamic in terms of money, I was also remembering my parents' dynamic with money. Mm-hmm. They are both very hard workers. My mom made sure that we knew how hard she worked. And then on the other end, my dad was a hard worker. He worked multiple jobs most of my life. And so I've been blessed to grow not only in a two-parent household, but also in a middle-income lifestyle, mm-hmm, with a big house. I was always aware of the insecurity, the financial insecurity of what it took to hold on to all of that. Mm. It was always told to us, like, do you know how much these bills are? Do you know how much the water is?
How much these dance lessons are? Right. Do you know how much I put out to afford you these things?
Right.
And so what did that make you believe then? Like,
it made me believe that I had to be working to be able to have and hold everything that I wanted. And if I wasn't working hard enough, or if I wasn't doing the right thing, that the things that I wanted are going to
vanish. Yeah.
And so I do have like this hoarding mentality with money.
Like hold it, like hoard it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go away if you don't do right with it.
Right.
Yeah. And most black people feel like that.
It's like, I have money in my bank account. I look at my bank account. It's going down, but I look at my bank account. And I'm like, I got money. But it's like, I don't have enough.
Yeah. But even when you had way more than what you have now.
Yeah.
You were still like, but what if this happened? Yeah. It's going to go. 2020 was a big year for me because I really changed my mindset. It was actually 2021. And I was diving really deeply into investments and money. And my boy Gerald Peters, you know, I was really learning, you know, through Earn Your Leisure and things like that. You were feeling pressured to join me. That brought up a lot of pressure because you also had to confront that you felt insecure when it came about money, when it came to the discipline that it takes to deal with money.
This is what you told me. You're like, talking about money, dealing with money, getting out of a lower bracket of money and transforming your mindset around money, mm-hmm, is needed in order to break generations of money problems.
That was something that I was really, really interested in, and you didn't quite understand my interest. But when you was like, hey, I'm on board, you know, what are we going to do? it brought up a lot of difficult conversations between us because we realized we're not practicing consistency like we need to. We're not practicing staying disciplined like we need to. And so a lot of couples and a lot of relationships are dealing with this same problem.
Being in this relationship and honestly forcing ourselves or pushing ourselves into entrepreneurship or quitting our jobs, like all these major transitions, forced us to really confront how we feel about money. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't become such a heavy burden individually, and it could be something that we can be open about together.
Yeah. Our view on money is directly related to our view of ourselves. Money equals value for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. You are valuable if you have a lot of money. But what's important is the currency, like money and value, it holds an energy. And it's the same energy that comes with what you believe about yourself, your self-worth. So if you don't think that you're worthy or valuable, then that's going to keep you in a certain tax bracket. When you don't have these conversations and when you are too scared to confront your issues with money, it shows up in your relationship and it comes out as a resentment. And you know what? That is what pushes your partners away because, hey, I'm too scared to confront the insecurity within me. I'm too scared to be judged. I'm too scared to do something different. I'm too comfortable. I'm going to be upset with you because you want to have a conversation about money. I'm going to be upset with you and take it out on you for whatever reason. And when I saw that in my own family, when I saw the conversations and the tension that I felt as a child between my parents, I knew that this is not the template I want to model after. This is not what I want to do when it comes to money. We're going to get into some questions that you can ask to create a safe container. We like to say that we're going to build a container in which we can express each other in that container and everyone feels safe. She don't like what I got to say all the time. And I sure enough don't like what she got to say all the time. But at the end of it, we get to hear each other. I get to say, you know what, baby? I want you to feel heard and I hear you. So I hope that these questions help out. The rest of the questions, we actually have 14 questions, but I'm going to add a little bit more and we're going to attach this to our website. Just click on the link in the description below.
And these questions are for you and your partner to begin building an environment where you can feel open to talk about these things, where you guys can set the parameters of how you even talk about these things.
And guess what? If you have kids, your kids are watching. Your kids are watching how you do everything. So be an example. Even if you're uncomfortable, sit through that uncomfortability. All right. So question number one.
So you're going to first start off by asking yourself, what are your worries around the topic of money? Yeah. What makes you uncomfortable about finances?
So give me an example. So what is a worry about money? Your number one worry is?
It's like, that I won't be able to live the life that I'm living.
So for some reason, you feel like you won't be able to live out the life that you desire. Mm-hmm. And that's material things, that's housing, that's everything. I'm pretty sure a lot of people feel the same way. Mm-hmm. What's your discomfort? Maybe mine is I get real kind of bashful and kind of like shame beforehand because I'm like, man, I don't want to look at my bank account. I don't want to have to face that I went to In-N-Out, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A and Chipotle about 7 times a week. You know, I have to sit with myself.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, I have to sit with myself and just say, you know what? I got financial goals.
So you've already identified what makes you uncomfortable or worried about money. Now, what do you need to feel more comfortable in talking more openly about money? I feel like I don't want to feel judged when I'm showing you my bank statements. So if you can just like look at it, don't like make any comments on it. Just be as objective as possible. And what really works for me is like celebration of, things that I have done well.
Yay, baby, you spent $12,000 this month.
No, but like, it's positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, like I'm doing something, I'm changing something. Or if you notice a change in my behavior or like I make a decision.
So like an example, dang, babe, like, wow, you decreased the amount of money you spent on shopping this month. Last month you did, and then this month you did $300 less. Yeah. That's really good.
Thank you.
You're moving in the right direction.
Thank you.
Ooh. I could tell that energy in you felt better than me saying, dang, girl, why you spent $800 on shopping? You know, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you then the opposite, you start getting pulled into like that shame and doubt. Like, I didn't know I was supposed to spend
it. And plus, since you're the person that you are and you, sorry, I didn't talk to you like that. But since you are the person that you are and I understand your traumas, I understand your background, I won't come at you like that. I will make an extra effort to not come at you from a judgmental point of view, even though it works for me. Mm. I judge myself this is something about us. I judge myself in my inner thoughts to motivate me to do something different. I'm not going to say it's healthy or not, but it works for me. But I realize it doesn't work for you. And so when it comes out of my mouth, you be like, that's kind of harsh. And I'm like, oh, damn, I guess I talk to myself kind of harsh. But I hear you. You want celebration that you're going in the right direction. You don't want there to be a comment that you're making a bad move or a move that's not going to help us.
Yes.
All right, cool. I'm pretty sure a lot of people can relate to that. That I'm sure if their partner came to them in that way, they'll be more willing to have this conversation.
Yeah, that would be fun for me.
I value accountability. And if I do it by myself, I'm probably going to backslide. I'm probably going to feel bad about myself and go back into judgment and then go back into my regular patterns. In this relationship, I would like to do financials together, if that's okay with you. Can we do a bi-weekly meeting on Thursdays where you are holding me accountable to comb through my statements, and that will make this a comfortable and productive situation when it's dealing with money. That's what I need to be comfortable. All right, so the third question is, how transparent are you willing to be with your finances?
Are we checking bank statements? Are we just saying numbers, like overview? Are we sharing budgets?
Talk about that. Yes.
Like, how open, how much are you willing to show of what you make? Do you have a separate bank account? Do they need to see that? Like, there's a whole lot of conversation that could be happening in terms of how transparent are you about these things.
Open up your perspective, open up your mind a little bit, and actually communicate to your partner and say, hey, I'm comfortable with sharing this account, this statement, this month. I'm comfortable with sharing these, but I have a separate account that I'm not comfortable sharing with. You know what that does? It sets a boundary. You're honest about all the accounts you got. Society, parents, even their own internal dialogue is telling them that, well, I shouldn't be that transparent, or I shouldn't have to tell them to go through my statements. Like, I don't want to. It's not their business. It's my money over here. I make it. I go to work. First, if you have that mentality, it's not going to go well. I will just say that out of love. It's not going to go well, as you're probably seeing. I've never gotten the response that I needed to be productive. If I come at a person in an accusatory way, the defense will keep us from having a productive conversation. So I had to learn through our different communication styles how to come at you.
Talk to each other about how money was talked about in your home growing up.
Yeah.
Because that gives you insight on, all right, what is possibly being passed down to how they may be dealing with money.
Yeah, you're right about that. Everybody don't come from the same household and the same upbringing. So you have to exercise empathy on how can I be understanding and how can I show compassion? And then how can we together say, okay, we are not going to do like how mama did. I'm not going to be the only one handling the finances. We're going to handle the finances together because I don't want no surprises popping up later on. Mm-hmm.
This is the base of creating a new foundation for your
healthy relationship.
Exactly. This is one of the blocks, one of the base blocks to be able to build the pyramid.
Exactly. Of health. Of a healthy relationship. Doing this work, being coaches, talking to couples, everybody on a core level just wants to be heard. They want to be seen and they want to be understood. And they want to feel safe so that they can express themselves. A lot of people are suppressing their deep rooted needs because they have learned that people won't meet their needs. Just allow for 1 second. Let your partner express themselves in a respectful way that you both agree on, but allow each other to be heard and allow each other to express themselves, and watch how that changes your relationship tremendously. I hope this changes and does wonders for your relationship.
All right. We'll see you guys next podcast episode.
Yes. See you guys later.
Bye.